Hey, housewives, come on in. You know the dirty dishes are still in the sink from yesterday and the laundry is still in the basket. Pop your AirPods in and make yourself at home here.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Tori.
And we are your Unlikely Housewives. Stepping out in faith and believing that God calls the unlikely, we are here to show you the appreciation and validation you deserve, lead you to authentic relationships, and release you of believing the cultural lies to restore your faith and wellness.
Pull up those high-waisted yoga pants, tighten your top knot, and reheat your coffee for the third time. Turn up the volume and let's go. Hey, housewives.
Hey, housewives. Welcome back.
Welcome back with another fabulous episode for you. And this one, I'm kind of fangirling because, I mean, this is like, I feel like we should put out a red carpet for her. And I'm going to let Tracy introduce her.
Yes, we're very excited to have Kelly Collins-Lentz on with us today. She has been a working actress for over 30 years, appearing in films like We're the Millers and Miracles from Heaven, reoccurring on network series like Surface, Army Wives, One Tree Hill, and is currently hard at work on a Netflix top-rated series. She has also raised four children who grew up in the industry, landing series regular roles on shows like The Walking Dead, The Alienist, Under the Dome, Bosch, and Ms. Marvel, to name a few. She supported all the above artistic journey by becoming a six-figure earner with Plexus Worldwide, which is how Kelly and I met. So welcome, Kelly.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. That made me really tired.
Thinking about all you've been through?
Yes.
May I suggest, don't say 30 years, just say a couple of decades. That way, at that point, we never know what the age is, you know, just,
nice. I mean. Right. Well, those 30 years started at birth, I mean.
Right, obviously.
That's true.
Obviously. Yeah.
Baby model, baby actress.
Gerber, maybe, one of those commercials. So it's funny, and she said that she knew you personally from some Plexus events, but I had known you by connections of following other Plexus people and following your journey on Plexus, too. So you've definitely been an inspiration to me on that health and wellness journey with Plexus as well. But it's just, I love how God chooses to bring us together. And like, how long have you known her?
Like 9 years probably, but I don't think I probably met you until like 2 or 3 years in when I kind of started like, you know, traveling.
Right. And how long have you been in the business?
I literally just had my 8th Plexiversary, as we call it.
Okay. Yes.
And it's just been such a huge blessing. It was a real answer to prayer. It's not something I ever saw myself doing. I think I had a lot of preconceived notions about network marketing. And I either felt you didn't make money at it, or if you did, I didn't want to do what you had to do it.
Yeah.
And I was just proved so wrong in every single way. And this has been actually one of the things that has kept me sane as I work in my other career, because I always know, you know, I have something else going on in my life that is a lot calmer. And it's really funny because I hear a lot of trainings like for network marketers, like, and you hear about the term buffering, like where you buffer doing the hard things with binging a show or folding laundry or whatever. And I would buffer a lot of like my career in Hollywood with Plexus. Easier and more clear cut and boner. And I can't say enough about it, especially I'm about to speak at a conference in July to a bunch of aspiring actors. And literally my platform is that only 6% of actors make a full-time living at it. You must have a parallel A plan. It is so important.
I love how you say that, a parallel A plan, not a plan B. It's a plan.
No, because they don't like that term. Like, oh, I need a plan B because my plan A is just going to work, which is really a myth and dumb and stupid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So me, you know, and my own son, who's 22 right now, is going through that. I mean, he's worked as a child actor since he was 4 years old. He's 22 now, and as he's waiting to get his next, you know, big thing, which we believe that he will, the money's running out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, you have to have something else going on other than being an actor, or else when you're 40 years old, you're going to be in a world of hurt. You just don't know.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's true whether you're in the entertainment industry or whether you have a 9-to-5, like just having multiple streams of income is the wisest thing you could do, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. We didn't learn that until we were, you know, mid-30s, but...
Hey, I was early 40s when I learned it, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say, COVID taught a lot of us how quickly our stable 9-to-5 can be stripped away when the offices close, or when your job has to let people go all of a sudden. They're not making as much, so they have to let people go. Or if you don't toe the company line. It was amazing.
I saw that a lot. Like, all of my actor friends were panicking during COVID and, you know, trying to get unemployment. And I was the only person I knew. My paycheck went up.
Yeah.
To the point where my accountant was at the end of the year was like, hey, I think you guys got Kelly's numbers wrong because income went way up. And nobody else has did that. And then I ran into the same thing again most recently with the SAG-AFTRA strike. Months and months and months. And so again, I was very grateful to have this alternate stream of income. So if I could tell, you know, your audience one thing, it's like, just do it. Align yourself with a company. I mean, I think we have the best one, but there's other companies out there. I was just talking about this on the show that I'm working on right now to the hair and makeup trailer. Cause they were like, yeah, we're kind of looking for like side hustles.
And I said, I've got one. Let's talk.
Yeah. And I said, you know, well, and I didn't want to be pushy about it, but I'm like, look, you need to find a product that you love. Mm-hmm. And maybe for you guys, it's a makeup company.
Right.
And you need to start building a network marketing business on the side. I did that and I make 6 figures and their jaws dropped. They're like, well, which one are you with?
Yeah. Well, and it's like you said, find a product you love.
Yeah. And you're passionate about.
And like, you get to decide. So shop the compensation plans, shop like business model. Like, those are definitely things that you don't have to just pick one and go. You can find one that's most conducive for your current life that you will be excited about instead of dreading when you're going, ugh. So,
well, we could do a whole one on that. However, let's go back to how you got into the industry and started acting.
Well, you know, I just sort of had a spiritual experience at the age of 4 and I was in a church play and I had like a few lines. I was 4 years old, but the audience laughed and I like knew that it was a good kind of laugh and that I had done something to make these people feel happy. And literally at that young of an age, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this more. And so that turned into, you know, me being just completely like Leah Michelle on Glee before there was Glee. And my whole childhood, I just spent training in various aspects of the industry, dance, singing, piano, acting, you name it. I thought I was going to head to Broadway. That was kind of my dream. But when I was working on a contract right out of college in Orlando, Florida with the Orlando Shakespeare Festival, a lot of the actors who lived there, they were working actors like in commercials. There's a lot of commercials that are filmed in Central Florida because it's always warm there. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And so I got an agent there and kind of crossed over into film and television at that point because I couldn't believe how much more lucrative it was. So that's when I got my start, probably when I was 23 in film and television. And then I just sort of never looked back. I do miss theater. I think it's wonderful, but it's a lot of effort for a little bit of pay. And so I spent 10 years in the Central Florida market working commercially and industrially and on little small parts on television series, not too many. But then in 2002, right after 9/11, I moved to Atlanta and myself and my 4 children were really there on the ground floor of everything that Atlanta has become, which is basically, you know, rivaling New York and LA. I think more shoots in Atlanta than both places at this point. So it was really a wise decision that sort of the Lord led us to do before we even knew why, which he tends to do.
Yes.
So that's how my kids got their start in the Atlanta market. And I still work there.
Were your kids seeing you do things and then they go, oh, I want to try mommy? Like that kind of, what was that? Or did you just say, instead of like, hey, let's try soccer, hey, let's try commercials? Like, is it one of those things where what?
Well, you know, I never intended to get my kids into the industry for a couple of different reasons. One, I saw a lot of bratty child actors and I didn't want that. And two, I knew how hard it was to make a living. And I didn't want to be a crazy stage mom because I saw plenty of those too. Mm-hmm. And it worked out. And then, like, I think when my oldest daughter was three, my agent called me and said, hey, look, they're looking for three-year-olds. Like, why don't you just bring Mackenzie in and see? And I'm going, okay. And she went in and she was, like, very strong-willed at the time, did not like strangers. And so she went into this room for, like, 30 seconds. And then the casting director came back out with her and just sort of laughed and shook his head. And I'm like, yep, I know. And so she was an athlete for a long time. And that was great. And so I just thought, okay, my kids aren't going to do this. This is going to be my thing and it's fine. But it was my middle two that really were like, wait a second, what are these kids doing here? Like they would visit me on set and I would be like, oh, well, they're playing mommy's kids. And they're like, why aren't we playing your kids? We are your kids. And so they were very offended. The two of them started to work in the industry and then my oldest kind of saw how much money they were making. Yeah. She was like, well, all right, I'll give it a shot. And then she actually proved to have a lot of natural ability and landed a series regular role when she was 16 on a show. And she did that show and then went back to her original stance of, no, I hate these people. I hate this industry. So she's an attorney now.
What show did she do? Was she regular on
She
it?
Did a show, a Stephen King adaptation of Under the Dome.
Okay. Yeah.
So she did that.
And then
she
just also slyly then said, and then she became an attorney.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all right. Okay. So that strong-willedness that you saw at 3 years old is paying out right now.
Yes. And then she is just kicking butt and taking names. I tell you what. So, yeah, she just decided, I really want a more stable existence than this. I want to be able to live close to family when I want to. And to be honest, she just wanted to live in the SEC because she's a huge Auburn football fan. And so she's like, well, I mean, I don't want to like go have to live in a city that's not in the Southeast. So she just kind of really knew what she wanted after that. And then my middle two are still very much working. And then same thing with my youngest. He sort of followed into his older siblings' footsteps because he just thought that's what everybody did.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't want him to feel left out. So I let him do that. And then when he was about 10 or 11, he landed a role on The Walking Dead and did that for a few seasons. But now he's on a golf scholarship in college. But my middle two are still like in it to win it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. But I mean, still like, well, my other child is an attorney and my other one has a golf scholarship at one of the colleges. I mean, you've
done raised, well you all raised, while.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Four out of four, not
did
bad.
What I could, ladies.
Well, we know it didn't come with sacrifices.
Yeah, without sacrifices, for
yes.
sure.
Yes.
Right. Sure. Yeah, it was so
what
easy.
What are some of those sacrifices that you guys had to make or that they had to make when you were coming into the industry in Atlanta?
Well, I think we've made a lot of sacrifices as a family because as all of us were working, we were often separated. So, you know, one time my son and I, who was 15, we like had to go to Budapest, Hungary for 7 months.
And did you say Hungary? Okay. Whoa.
Budapest, Hungary. Mm-hmm. So he did a show called The Alienist over there when he was 15. And it's funny not to bring it back to Plexus, but I had just gone senior gold at home. And I was like, this is really a cool thing. And then he got the job and I was like, oh no, how am I going to work my business from Budapest, Hungary? I hope it's here when I get back. Because how am I going to work a job from my phone and my computer? And I'm like,
little did you know,
I still can. And so I actually went Ruby in Budapest because I had nothing else to do but keep him alive, make sure he knew his lines. And because I couldn't work. Which brings me to the other sacrifice. And I wouldn't say I sacrificed my career, but there was definitely times where like I couldn't audition for things because I knew that I had to be on set. My husband and I made the decision that like we weren't going to send them with a guardian. We saw too many horror stories there and it was going to be either him or me. And that is why Plexus became so important to us because when he was in LA with my daughter, you know, for 5 months while she did a season of Bosch, and I was in Toronto, Canada with one of the other ones, we would literally call each other and be like, who's paying the mortgage at home? You know, because he couldn't work. I couldn't work. You don't get paid as a stage parent. Your children are getting paid. And so you begin to see those horror stories of like parents stealing all their kids' money come into play. And there is the horrible side of that. But on the other hand, there's a very real issue of like, wait a minute, how am I going to pay the bills if I can't work?
Right.
Yeah.
So we had to have a family meeting literally when the kids, I think, were like 6, 10, 12, and 14, where we were like, either you guys need to quit so that mom and dad can go back to work, or either you guys quit or we quit.
Mm-hmm.
And they may, or we have to take a paycheck from your corporations. And so that's what we did, but it was like, we took as little as we could, and then ruled about it. You have to, a lot of their money goes into a trust so that, you know, evil people can't do evil things, which is good. But I also do think the you know, labor is worth their hire, and stage parenting is a full-time job, especially if you have a successful child actor. And when you have several of them,
yeah,
it's even more so. So, but I hated that, which is why I really started to build my network marketing company. And that business saved our house on numerous occasions.
Hmm.
Well, and two is, like you said earlier, like, you don't know when the next gig is going to go. Mm-hmm. And you can't really rely on your 9-year-old, your 12-year-old to say, yep, I'm ready to, for the next show.
Right.
Like, they could very easily just turn around and go, all right, well, I'm done now. But yeah, like, I absolutely understand that. And you talking about the being on set, which that's a heavy sacrifice. And I applaud you greatly, because when you see things come out, like the recent documentaries about things that happen to these child actors because they're just with the guardian or some, you know, the agent or the manager, and you just are going, these poor, poor kids. Like,
yeah,
it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we, you know, we inherently knew, you know, we will never be out of eyesight of our children. And even so, things happened. Things happened. So, because it's just kind of a crazy, crazy industry to be in. Luckily, nothing happened to my kids like happened in that documentary, but I can see how it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Couple things. How did you do schooling with the kids? And then the other is, how did you keep faith at the forefront for your family?
So school, we actually, a lot of people are like, oh, you must have homeschooled. And the funny answer to that is that I did homeschool, but it was before the kids all began working. Because before they were all working, they were all home and I was home and I could do that. But when they started working and we'd be split up and I'm in, you know, Louisiana for 4 months, how am I going to school my kids? So we found a really great private school in Georgia where we live that was very amenable to helping us. And so they have tutors on set. Like, there's one, you have to do 3 hours of school a day, but their school would just let them complete that work correspondently. And so they'd be gone for parts of the year and then the rest of the time they would be back. And so that's how we did that. And all of them, they all graduated.
And did all right.
Yeah, and they did okay. And as far as faith goes, I think that's one of the things that really helped us cope with some of the gut punches and fetal positions that go along with a career in the entertainment industry is, you know, you get probably, again, the parallels to network marketing are hilarious because I have to audition probably 30 times to get one yes. Okay. So you get 29 no's for every yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first started doing this, one of my upline sponsors was like, no, Kelly, if you really want to make a go of this, you're going to have to get used to rejection.
And I like died laughing.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that.
No, I eat rejection for breakfast. Okay. So that's why one of the reasons why I found Plex is so fun is because like I would get one yes for every three, you know, suggestions. And I'm like, this is amazing. You know? So we would always tell our kids if they got a no, especially like a really difficult no. And there were many of those where they would get so close to something huge and then it would go to the other person at the end. I would say, you know, God is either protecting you from something bad or preserving you for something better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we would tell them.
What would you guys do? Like, I mean, people now go, well, we have a soccer game on Sunday morning. Can't go to church. Well, when you're in Budapest, Hungary for 7 months, I mean, that's hard to find a church, or that might also be where Christians are not welcome. So how did you guys find a church home or a community that you could plug into for faith?
Well, ironically, when we were in Budapest, there is an English-speaking church there, and we had friends there because in another life, right after college, I actually went on staff with a full-time ministry called Campus Crusade. They're called Prune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And their Eastern European headquarters is in Budapest. And so I had friends that were there. And so we actually went to their church while we were in Budapest. Luckily, there's online, you know, you can go to your own church online if you want to nowadays.
Yeah.
But that was never really a huge issue.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how the industry has changed, or maybe hasn't changed, since COVID. Because you did go through a season of no opportunities because no one was filming, right?
Yeah. I mean, Hollywood was shut down for a long time. Then the other issue that I faced was there was the vaccine mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one that chose to not get the vaccine. And so I was benched for a good long while, although you would be shocked at how many actors had a fake card. So, yeah, and I just, and I was offered one. And I said, you know, if everybody would just stand up for themselves, we wouldn't have to deal with this. And I'm not going to lie. So I told my agent, I'm like, you know, you have a ton of people that are lying to you about this. And they're sort of like, oh, don't ask, don't tell.
But, right.
Yeah. And I said, you know what, though? I am going to tell, because I want you to know that when you deal with my family, we aren't liars, even when it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they respected that in the end. But then, you know, what's really frustrating for me is that my kids are all of age at that point, and so except for one, but like my kids got it because they were working and they were series regulars. A lot of parents gave it to their young children so their young children wouldn't miss work. And then it just sort of like went away. You're like, oh, actually this is really dumb and stupid. We don't like work anyway. Everybody keeps getting COVID. And I'm like, yeah, well, now after all these young children have gotten, and you don't even know what's in it. You know, I told my youngest, like, you're not going to get it on my watch. But when you're 18, if you decide you want to get it, you go right ahead. And I have zero regrets with that.
That's hard. I mean, like, I can only imagine the conversations, like, with your over 18 getting to make the decision for themselves. And you having to stand by and going, okay, while I do not support this, I support you. Like,
yeah,
not the decision I would make, but you're your own individual. I'm going to let you, you know, not let you.
Yeah.
But,
and like, I actually didn't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're making that kind of money, like for me, all I had to do was just like, well, I can't audition to get my next job.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had a job where I was making $50,000 per episode, that would have been a tough call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like our husbands were put in that position as well. Her husband, like, basically was sacrificed bonuses from then on out, like, never received a bonus after that because he was one of the ones that didn't toe the company line. And my husband, his religious exemption was accepted. But many of our friends, many of his employees, their exemptions were not accepted. That's when you parallel A, plan A. And then, like you said, and then just all of a sudden it kind of just dissipates and disappears. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, that thing. Mm-hmm. No, you've got that. Oh, okay, great. Yeah.
I will tell you a funny story though. Right before the mandate really was like went into place, I did a movie with Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
He was very funny. He was like, it was when COVID testing was at an all-time high. You had to be tested one day before you went to your costume fitting, and then on the day of the costume fitting, and then you had to be tested one day before you actually worked on set, and then every morning you had to be tested. And like, there were times where people were actors be positive and they'd be sent home, and another, you know, it was crazy. he was just raging around the set like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It was funny.
But he stands on that still.
Yeah. He does. Yeah. I mean.
Well, we were just having a conversation this morning and we were talking about this. And so it's funny for you to bring it up. Like when you said you told your agent, like, hey, there are people behind me here that like agree with me that say that this is the stupidest thing ever, that but are getting Vex cards just to do this, but we're not liars. And we were talking about, you don't always have to be the first one to say something to stand up. Like sometimes, yes, God calls you and you spoke up and said, I'm going to tell you, but all the others, where was the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, all of those, if they had stood up with you, what a difference that would have made and how much shorter of a time period
yeah.
the things would have lasted, right? Because mm-hmm. then we were all standing up together. And we were talking mm-hmm. about just how hard it is. Or you get the text afterwards and say, hey, thanks for so much for standing up for that. Really appreciate it. And you're like, where were you when I looked like I was all alone? Because nobody else sees this text message but me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why people are choosing not to stand up, you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think there's a lot of people that really bought into what I think is one of the biggest hoaxes ever perpetrated on mankind. And there was a lot of people that like really thought if you were against it, you were nuts. I have a lot of people that are coming to me that thought I was nuts. And they're like, I think you might have been right. You know, but you can be canceled very quickly for just the most arbitrary things.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You have the right thoughts. You could be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have that experience we talked about. Wasn't that a canceled situation with Ms. Marvel?
The internet is such a wonderful place. He got the job with Ms. Marvel and it came out in the press that he was the choice. And somewhere along the line, they had caught wind because of a situation I had faced 1 year earlier, that we were a conservative family, that we were Christians. And like, they didn't like that. They didn't like that. And so, and we have a pretty hard and fast rule. We don't talk about that stuff on social media. We just don't do that. It just invites trouble. And I don't even think it's an effective battlefield, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I had done one little thing that gave me away. I really went through a dark time the summer before that. And so it kind of reared its ugly head again when he was cast. And there was a hashtag that began to emerge called #FixMarvel. And we realized what that meant was fire Chris Pratt, also a known conservative and a Christian, and fire Matt Lentz. I'm like, wow, you've really made it, you know? And then
we're next to Chris Pratt. That's pretty good. Yeah, right?
Like it went on for a bit and it was really hard on him. And the head of Marvel, Louis Desposito, called him and was like, listen, you have nothing to worry about. Just you see what's happening. Just lay low. We don't care what you guys believe or who you voted for or anything like that. We're not going to be bullied. That actually surprised me. Yeah. And so for that reason, I will always have Marvel back because they have my son back.
Yeah. Well, it's like there's two courts. There's the legal court and then the court of public opinion. And a lot of things that should never be an issue to begin with come out in the public court of opinion. And there's just like, Marvel doesn't need your opinion. I think they're very successful. I think they've done a great job on who they've casted and what mega house that is. Clearly, they're doing just fine with the decisions they're making.
Well, tell us, because you can't tell us anything that's going on, but tell us when we'll know. Do we get to know that?
Not not right now. I can't really say anything. And 2025, I think.
All right. Well, we can't wait to see what comes of your next. I almost said audition. You've already done that. Of your next,
next gig.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the meantime, I'll just get people healthy, right?
That's very right.
Absolutely. And you know, I will announce one thing. And this is really a fun thing that I haven't said much about yet. But another reason why I think God led me to Plexus is one of the things that my family wants to do next, like our next iteration, is we want to start creating content that is inspirational and faith-based or faith-adjacent, but done with excellence. So I wrote my first screenplay about a year and a half ago, and I am in development to get that made. And it is the story of Diamond Ambassador Amy Kosmolsky and her daughter with Down syndrome.
Gosh.
So we are going into development on that right now, and stay tuned.
That's exciting.
That's goosebumps.
Yeah,
they've changed 9 laws that affect the differently abled. And Kayla is just a phenom. She is
amazing.
She's about to graduate from high school with a diploma, which is unusual for someone with Down syndrome. She's a varsity cheerleader. She is a college cheerleader now. She made a college cheerleading team, which I hope I'm allowed to say that because I don't know if they've been out that yet. But so she is just an example of not necessarily letting the hand you've been dealt hold you back from doing anything you want to do. She has been on the Plexus stage. And to be honest, Plexus, I don't cover this in the movie, but it is the truth that the reason that they were able to spend the time to change 9 laws, which is no joke, like there's a lot of lobbying you have to do and it takes time. The reason that they were able to do that is because Amy was a Diamond Ambassador and her husband could quit his job and focus solely on her.
That's awesome. Wow.
That's exciting.
So, well, tell us, because you have a conference that you're involved in, and tell us just kind of people can follow or check that out or follow you, how to get connected.
Yeah, you
can
actually, if you follow me on Instagram at Kelly Collins Lynn, you'll see a post about, you know, if you're an aspiring actor and you want to be in Franklin, Tennessee on July 11th and 12th, there will be a lot of great industry experts there. The lead actor, Christopher Palaha, in the movie that just came out called The Shift through Angel Studios. He is the keynote speaker. And there will be casting directors, agents, other actors. I'm speaking on having a plan outside of the plan. And you can go to focusactorsconference.com if you want information on, or you can email them and they'll give you a discount code to come spend 2 days with some industry experts.
That is awesome. What a great resource for anybody that's looking to get, interested. But they can follow you on Instagram. And that is a great way to keep tabs on you until 2025.
Yes, perfect. Awesome.
Great. Well, thank you so much for this, Kelly. We so appreciate it. And it's a pleasure just getting to know you better, but also just like that gives me faith in Hollywood. They're not talking religion and politics on set, but behind
the scenes.
Behind the scenes, they are, you know, on the
same quietly there.
Yes.
Yes, you are. You are.
Well, thank you for your time and for sharing.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it.
Well, until next time, housewives.
Thanks. Have a great week.
Bye.
Whether we made you laugh or cry today, we pray you feel appreciated, bolder and braver than yesterday, stronger and more faithful for tomorrow, and living in who you were made to be today.
Join our online community on Facebook, link in the show notes, and be sure to review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Until next time, housewives, we give you permission to walk confidently, free, and to be intentional in your slippers or stilettos.